So I'm going to be describing a system today called AdSplit. This is joint work with some of my co-authors at Rice University. And normally the professor doesn't get up and give the talk, but well, we're doing it slightly different today. So I'm going to be describing our work. Let's start at the beginning. Here are two versions of the same application. On the left, one of them has an advertisement banner at the bottom. On the right, it doesn't. If you want the one on the right without ads, you pay $1.99, such a bargain. If you're too cheap for that, you get the one with the ad and it's free. So how popular are these two applications that we've chosen here? Well, you know, Google gives you these vague answers. It says 10 to 50,000 people have downloaded the pay version. And how many do you suppose have downloaded the free version? Anyone want to take a guess? Put a number in the back of your head. Ready, set. 10 to 50 million people have downloaded the free one. This is not an uncommon situation. So this leads to, ads are everywhere. Everywhere you go, you're going to see free apps that are ad supported. This is how people make money. And it's interesting to point out, just for this, even though this is not a security problem, ads consume 3/4 of the power budget of these applications. There's a great study out of Purdue. Fun, go read it. So ads are something that they're a big part of the ecosystem. It works more or less the same way that web advertisements work, cost per click, etc. The mechanics of it is that if you're writing an application, you use a library provided to you by one of the advertisers. Their library just goes into your application. It's all shipped as one big app, and it goes out together. So if you are trying to make money at advertising, the name of the game is targeting. You need to be able to reach the user, and the more you know about them, the better you can reach them and the more money you make. And therein lies profit. Well, that means that ads want to know your location. They want to know your friends and your contact list. They want to know as much about you as they can. And of course, that means the more they learn about you, the more Android permissions they're going to require. And that creates a situation we call permission bloat, where apps are where there are permission requests to install the application that are used exclusively for the benefit of the advertising library, not for the benefit of the application as a whole. So here are a bunch of ad libraries, and this is the check means it's a required permission, the circle means it's an optional permission. You see, they all want access to the internet because that's how they phone home and get content. And then there are other things they might want that are optional, such as where are you? Ads can behave in ways that are hard to distinguish from malware. There was one ad library that caused at least one antivirus company to tag a whole swath of apps as if they were malware. They weren't malware, they were just really obnoxious. So what are we going to do about this? Well, for starters, we downloaded 10,000 odd apps from the Google and Amazon app stores, and we wanted to see just how bad the permission bloat problem was. We built on some wonderful work by Adrian Felt and others at Berkeley, where they built a nice mapping from every Android call you might want to make to what permissions it requires. And then you decompile the apps and just do grep and count. What do you find? Well, what you find is, okay, blue bars are the number of apps in our sample that require the given permission. The red bars are how many of those apps would require the permission if we deleted the advertising libraries. So the difference between blue and red is our ability to reduce this permission bloat. What you see is that the biggest change is at internet access. We can get rid of internet access requests, permission requirements for a large number of apps, but we can reduce permissions all across the board. Another interesting finding, oh, by the way, is that you don't have just one ad platform per app. Many apps ship with a large number of distinct ad platforms and will make some kind of decision on the fly about which advertiser they're going to use, perhaps some sort of arbitrage to make the most money that they can. Well, what we found is in 26% of the apps, we could reduce at least one permission. 594 of the apps in our sample, we could get rid of every single permission request. That's pretty cool. I mean, yeah, it's not all of them, but it's not bad. All right, changing gears, let's talk a little bit about what kinds of mechanisms we might want to use for security. And a lot of where we can look to for related work is in the world of advertising on the web, where advertising security on the web is really mashup security on the web. Advertisements are typically hosted in an iframe, which creates a separation between application code and, you know, the hosting page and the advertisement are separated because that's how iframes work. And the same origin policy that's built into every web browser means that network requests coming from the iframe look different. They're distinguishable from network requests coming from the surrounding web page. These are mechanisms that every web advertiser uses to distinguish and hopefully get rid of click fraud. Android doesn't have these mechanisms. So our goal is to invent Android equivalents that can have comparable semantics. So we call our system AdSplit. Generally, the architecture is all about running two things that, as far as the user is concerned, are just on the screen together, but really they're two completely separate layers. Like, you know, you have two separate windows on your computer running, and the window system composites them together. We want to do exactly that on Android. And we need, you know, that means that we have to have an event delegation mechanism so events can go to the top layer and give them to the bottom layer. We have to have a way that you can verify these events are legitimate, not forged. And we need to have a way that the ad can verify that it's actually being shown to the user. And I'm going to talk about how we accomplish all of these things. Right. So beforehand, I mentioned that the ad libraries are just in process libraries inside. So if I have two different applications, A and B, and you know the ad libraries are just in process, and the host tells them, "Hi, I'm an education app. Show education advertisements. I'm a gaming app. Show gaming ads, etc." Well, when I split them out, I'm going to keep a separate copy of the ad library for each hosting application. That way, I can make it as transparent as possible. I have to polyinstantiate the ad library, one ad instance per host instance. That way, the ad library doesn't have to know or care that I'm not trying to have one library support a whole bunch of distinct applications. One of the things that is the hardest part of the work that we did is the least interesting from a security perspective was trying to get all this compositing and graphics to work, to have the ad thing come up at the same time and go away at the same time, and dealing with Android stacking. This was a huge amount of work. And we got it working. Yay. The user input validation we built on some work that we presented last year at this conference when we met in San Francisco. We built a system called Choir, and Choir has a bunch of properties that turn out to be really helpful here. So in particular, Choir gets into the event system inside, you know, where every time a touch event is generated or a finger motion event or what have you, we do an HMAC on it with a key that's shared between the event system and the kernel. And HMACs are cheap. They're like order of a microsecond to compute. It's like cheaper than doing a system call. And what that means is we have something that's kind of like a digital signature on every single event in the system. That's fast. And then when you want to verify something, it requires, you know, asking the system service, hey, is that all right? That takes a little bit more time, but that doesn't happen very often. So that's a way that we can prevent forged clicks. Verifying visibility on the screen, turns out that Android already has all the APIs we need. We didn't have to extend anything at all. You can already say, hey, am I visible? So we can use existing mechanisms. So let me run you through the pipeline of how a click finds its way from the user touching the screen down to the ad library. So first we have our event system. The event system generates a signed touch event, and that goes to the host activity. This is your Angry Birds app or something. Then the Angry Birds app notices that this belongs to the advertising thing. So instead of sending it directly to the AdMob library, instead it sends it to this ad service, which is a system wrapper around that library. And that wrapper is first going to go off and verify with Choir that it's a legitimate click. and it's going to make sure the ad is visible on screen and do all those good things. And once the ad service, so gray here means system code, blue means third-party code, then it can finally pass it on to the AdMob library that's been wrapped. And now the AdMob library, we've already done all the security, and it can go ahead and do its normal thing. Okay, so that's the basic pipeline for how a click goes through the system. Then we decided, well, let's make this separation automatic. I want to be able to take any app that happens to be using AdMob or MobiClick or Millennium Media or what have you, and I want to automatically do the separation in a way that the application author or the ad library author, neither of them have to know that I'm making their life better. So the previous talk kind of showed how this works. It's you take the app, you break it apart into its pieces, you figure out, you get a, it's basically like a little subdirectory. And you can find the subdirectory where all the ad code is. It's easy to identify. You replace it with some stub code that calls out to a library. You put it back together, you're done. Now, yes, you can, but no, you shouldn't. You have to do this engineering for every single ad library. And there's some new startup every day that says, we'll get rich with so we have to engineer for every single one of them and every version of them and test it and get it all correct. And we're leaving on the table the ability to do a lot better. In particular, there's another choir feature where these local signatures based on HMAC can be transformed into standard digital signatures, like public key signatures, that are meaningful across the wire. That means a change to the wire protocol, and we can't go reach into AdMob and change their wire protocol, which means there's all this cool stuff that we could do, proving the provenance of a click in a way that's remotely verifiable. We need to change the protocol to accomplish that. That doesn't work with automatic rewriting. Then we had a light bulb. That if you look inside every single one of these ad libraries, what do you see? An HTML widget. The people who produce ad content, the advertisers, like JavaScript and HTML and JPEGs, they understand that. They can produce one set of ads that runs on Android, and the same ads can run on iOS, and the same ads can run on everything, because it's just JPEGs and JavaScript and HTML. So maybe what we can do is we can have a system-provided web view that does all of the ad hosting, and then we can get rid of having the AdMob library. This is really awesome. No more native code for the advertiser. The advertiser only ships JavaScript, HTML, and JPEGs. The web browser, it's just an Android web view, which means that it's WebKit, which means that it has all the security mechanisms that every browser has. So let's use those. Now we can have same origin policy. We can have the ad library only be allowed to phone home to the place where it's ad host. It doesn't need the arbitrary internet access, which is a very commonly requested Android privilege. And that means that we don't need to ask for any additional privileges. We can just have ads get just enough to run the browser feature and nothing else. And we're still going to use the separation that I described earlier in the talk. We're still going to run the advertisements in a separate process with a separate user ID, and so we get this defense in depth. Even if there's some obscure web bug that lets them break out of the web browser and run native code, they're running native code in a restricted sandbox. So defense in depth. Once we've done the separation, we have a bunch of interesting policy questions that arise. And I'm going to state these as questions for which we don't have good answers, but which we now have the mechanism to express policies over. Question one, should ads be allowed to learn sensitive things about you? Should an ad be allowed to learn your geolocation, either course, you are in the greater Seattle area, or fine, you are at this corner of the ballroom. That's, should ads be allowed to look at your contact list? Should ads be allowed to, you can come up with a long list of things, and the advertisers have a long list of things they would love to know about you. The trick about this is, if we really crank down and say, advertisements are not allowed to know where you are, advertisements are not allowed to see anything else on your phone, they live in their hermetically sealed world, well, the application that's hosting the ads might not be able to get as much money. So then they might be incentivized to have ads running in process again. That's no good. Or they might simply, when they call out to the ad and say, hey, you got a click, they could annotate that or have some kind of, you know, even if we do some crazy information flow thing, they could invent a covert timing channel just to signal a GPS coordinate. We can't stop this. So we rather than trying to mechanically stop it, we want to incentivize this in some fashion. Like maybe we should have a user preference. Do you want ads to know where you are to better target you? And many users will say no. Some might say yes. I'm not sure. How many people in this room run an ad blocker on their browser? Okay, that's maybe 50%. What if you could run an ad blocker on your phone? How many of you would turn that on? Yeah, even more hands than the first time, right? So once we have ad separation, now ad blocking becomes really trivial. And if you are an advertiser, this is not a feature. If you're an advertiser, you like the idea of being in a library inside the process that's hosting the Angry Birds that the user's trying to run. You kind of have some protection, some cover from that hostile fire, from that ad blocker. But on the flip side, when you're running in process as a library, the Angry Birds people can trivially forge clicks to you. They can trivially pretend to be clicking when you're not actually getting a click. So would you rather be exposed to blocking, or would you rather be exposed to fraudulent clicks? I'm not sure how an actual advertiser would answer that question. I'm hoping they would rather have defense against fraudulent clicks. And of course, once you're running in a separate process, remember how I said ads are taking up 3/4 of the power budget? Now you can do something about that. Once you've separated them out, now we can invent some kind of power rationing mechanism. We don't do that, but it's now you've got all the machinery you need to do such a thing. Right. Okay, I'm going to change gears here just a little bit. Performance measurements. In Android, CPU time that we've measured is basically negligibly different. But memory overhead turns out to matter. The people on the Google Android team have really sweated bullets about every megabyte of memory. Every megabyte still matters in your phone. And so a stock Hello World Android kind of app, I'm simplifying here just a little bit, but ye old Hello World Android app is about 1.4 megabytes of memory. Once you tack on an HTML web view and the AdMob library, now we've added on, you know, now we're up to 6-odd megabytes of memory. The AdMob just uses a web view inside, so you basically are paying for a web view. Or if you want to use a web view yourself, you get it for free because your ad library is already paying the cost. You get the idea. Well, how do these numbers work in AdSplit? So I'm going to pretend that you're still using your own ad, you still have your own web view for your application, but now we create a separate application that's running. This new activity is supporting all the advertisements, so we pay that same 1.4 megabyte overhead of having another application running. We have two web views, one in the host, one in the ad, and then the AdMob library running on the side. Now, of course, if the hosting application wasn't using a web view, we wouldn't pay for two redundant web views. And in fact, the AdMob library itself can go away if we go with this, you know, we provide the HTML container and we don't have native code anymore. So depending on how you look at it and how you use it and how you configure it, AdSplit could be roughly cost neutral. It's not, and there's a lot of gory details. You can see the paper if you really care. We are not the only academic team that's looked at Android advertising as a security problem. When we submitted our paper, there was nothing else around, and then in the next several months, a whole bunch appeared. We thought, oh, this is a great thing. Nobody else would work on Android advertising. Welcome. So anyway, I want to acknowledge that there's a lot of concurrent work that's done very similar things to what we've done, and it's all great stuff. You should all have a look. So where's this going? Right? There's this collision course between Android smartphone apps and the web. and you know, Firefox OS, Ubuntu Gecko, is just a giant HTML. It's just the web. Although if you look at it closely, it looks a lot like Chrome. The difference between a web browser and a native system is merging. Native apps are being restricted, and web apps want more privileges. Where at some point these are going to converge, and it'll be really interesting to see where we end up. And I think there's a lot of opportunity for people to do research in this area. Wrapping things up, our system we built is called AdSplit. It does ad separation inside Android. It can protect against click fraud. It can reduce permission bloat. And it allows for a variety of interesting management policies that you might want to implement. Thank you very much.
So as session chair, I'm going to abuse the right to ask the first question. When you were looking at the sort of the need for separating the advertisements into to their separate containers, often these applications that have advertisements also have analytics libraries. And these analytics libraries use the same permissions, and they're much more tightly coupled with the functionality of the application itself. Did you get a feeling for how much we would really be able to reduce the permission bloat by just taking advertisement libraries out? Versus what's in there with the analytics? And then also, do you have any ideas how we could potentially create a similar framework for analytics?
Haven't really thought about the analytics. So now I'm just going to make up an answer to your question. My gut reaction is that analytics libraries are going to be all over the map. Some of them are going to be doing, say, performance measurement, and they really do have to be in core. Others are like the equivalent of web bugs. They're just there, but they're really not all that different from advertisements. I imagine that a lot of what you might want from an analytics package could perhaps be an Android system service. And an Android system service has a chance to do things that you can't do in process anyway. You know, the kernel can be measuring things for you. So without having looked at it specifically, I'm going to guess and say that it's probably something that we can come up with a different solution for, perhaps a kernel-based thing.
Ben Lifshitz, Microsoft Research. So I have one comment and one question. So the comment is about your focus on permissions and reducing permissions. And I think this is a very common direction in terms of research. But one thing that we have found of late with experimenting with Android permissions and those on Windows Mobile is that users really don't seem to appreciate a reduction in permissions. On the contrary, they seem to think that more permissions means more capabilities. For the same amount of money, they can do more, so why not? So it's not really clear that that direction really will be as appreciated by the users. So that's the comment. The question is this, and we were also sort of looked and built some of these systems in terms of ad separation, but for Windows Mobile. And one thing that's always been bothersome in that research is we're not really clear what incentives to provide for the various players. So there are advertisers, there are users, and there are platform providers. What are the incentives for each of these groups that would make them overcome the, you know, the friction that you're creating with what you're proposing here?
All right, so first let me address the comment, then I'll try to tackle the question. If you look at the Android Google Play market, and you look at applications that request a lot of privileges, and you read the user comments, you will see people very angrily complaining that, oh, this thing requires privilege X and privilege Y, and this is dangerous and this is bad. Or in some cases, you'll go to the vendor website and they'll have a detailed explanation of why they need each of the privileges that they're requiring.
That does happen occasionally, it's true, but I mean, there was research, like there was a paper in Soups 2012 that shows that in mass, it's actually not the case.
Right, so I think suffice to say that if I could dream big, my dream is that permission requests are sufficiently rare that when you see one, it should be a red flag. Why does this application need a privilege? Surely it could have done its thing without. Now, that's nowhere near the world that we're in today. That's a dream.
It's true for runtime permissions, but not installation time permissions.
Right, right. So wouldn't it be cool if we could not need permissions because we're doing something else, whatever that something else is? That's the crazy dream. Now, your question, could you restate the question?
What are the incentives for the platform providers, ad providers, users?
Right. So I'm going to argue that okay, so I talked about at the end this dichotomy. On the one hand, the advertiser wants to hide inside the application so they can't be blocked. On the other hand, the advertiser doesn't trust the application, which might be trying to forge clicks. So the incentives go both ways. I'm hoping that advertisers would rather be running in a distinct box where they where they're protected from a potentially hostile host application. I think that that the incentives for having higher integrity of clicks outweigh the damage of being ad blocked. Because I can come up with other ways of ad blocking them. Just like I can reach in and separate an ad, I can reach in and just delete the ad library or put a stub that does no ops. So they're not hiding very well anyway. So they might as well at least run in an environment that's protected. And furthermore, I think that if the platform treats ads as a first-class feature of the platform, that ads are just a thing that Windows Phone 8 or that Android or iPhone, I mean, Apple already has this notion that we provide your ad service, like it or not. And I think that that's actually not a bad thing. And you know, you could do it in a pro-competitive way, unlike Apple, by just so having the infrastructure and saying, you know, load the ad from http://. So at that point, it's portable, it's pro-competitive, it's separated, it has the integrity guarantees, it has the provenance features. I think that's something where everybody can line up behind it and take advantage of the feature.
Thank you.
Hi, Stuart Schechter, Microsoft Research. I'm a slime ball, or at least I'm going to emulate one for a second. And I'm going to say, well, if I were an advertiser, wouldn't it be great if I could use AdSplit to make sure that I wasn't getting any click fraud, and then also grab all the permissions so that I could make sure it was working and then do all that profiling I wanted to do? So if the pitch is that to get the advertisers to use this and not grab lots of permissions, it's going to be the protection against click fraud. Doesn't it need to, that seems to only work if as an incentive, if I can't do both.
Right, so in our in the AdSplit architecture, there's no permission dialogue. The set of permissions that are given to ads are fixed. And the only way an ad is going to get some additional permission is if a host application delegates or communicates or leaks information to it. So the notion that you will gather permissions and thereby become extra evil, I don't think that our architecture really enables that. Well, certainly the ads that get confused for malware are very much, you know, they're kind of indistinguishable from malware because they're doing malware-like things. I don't have a good answer for your question, though.
One last question?
Just a quick comment. Serge Eggleman, UC Berkeley. I think it's a mistake to say that the advertisers are incentivized to stop click fraud because they're not really. There's a certain amount of click fraud. I mean, they profit from the click fraud, right? It's the customers who are paying the advertisers. They're the ones who have an incentive, you know, for click fraud to be, you know, non-existent, but the advertising companies don't really.
So
they want to protect their reputation, so they don't want to be known for having massive levels of click fraud.
Right, so I saw a talk from a Google advertising guy who was waving his hands vigorously in the air saying that, well, you know, even if the click fraud rate is some ridiculously high value, that just means that the actual conversion rate at the end is lower, so the value of the ads is lower, so therefore economics will lower the cost per click to compensate for the fraud rate. I think that's bogus. I think that what really matters is the fraud rate has to be below a threshold, otherwise the whole system loses value because people don't trust it. And mechanisms like this can help reduce the fraud rate and increase trust. And you sort of answered your own question, right? You know,
that was a comment, it wasn't
right.
A question.
I mean, well, okay, so yes. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank the speaker.